Good morning. It's a pleasure to worship with you this morning at Asbury. We're so glad that you're here. If you are our guests this morning or also our members, we invite you to fill out the attendance pads, which are located at the center of the pew, so that way when we collect the offering, we'll be able to have a record of your attendance. At this time, I'd like to invite Colleen Caldwell to come forward and talk to us about 200,000 Reasons.
Good morning. I'm here this morning to tell you about a very important initiative in the life of our church, in the life of the Arkansas Conference of the United Methodist Church, called 200,000 Reasons. Back in 2013, as the Imagine No Malaria initiative was winding up, the bishop and a task force sat down to look to find another initiative that we as a church could get behind and could really do some good and make an impact. And what they learned in their research was that in Arkansas alone, one out of every four, or over 200,000 children, go hungry. And by hungry, I don't mean, oh, mommy, I know we just had dinner, but I'm really kind of hungry. Can I have some ice cream? By hungry, I mean there is no dinner. And there may not be breakfast. And it may be that the only meal they can count on is lunch at school, which means weekends, spring breaks, Christmas breaks, even snow days present problems for these children, wondering whether there's going to be any food on their table. And without proper nourishment, children can't learn. They can't reach the potential that God has in mind for them. And we end up with a cyclical problem. We've got to break this problem at its source. We've got to feed our children. I think it's something that God has commanded us, something, of course, that Jesus has commanded us, and something that's at its very foundation, Wesleyan. We saw Wesley out feeding the poor and visiting those in prisons, and we're called to help those who are least fortunate. I don't know about you, but my heart breaks at the thought of a child going to bed hungry because there's just no food in the house. And for many of us that might live paycheck to paycheck, that could be us at any time. That may be your neighbor's children. It could be your children or your grandchildren's best friend. The problem is rampant in Arkansas as one of the states that ranks highest in childhood hunger. So the 200,000 Reasons Initiative started in 2014 and runs for 6 years through 2020 with the goal of having every single church in Arkansas get involved. Can you imagine it with over 670 United Methodist Church in Arkansas? Just imagine what impact there would be if every church did something. And I'm so proud to learn that Asbury is stepping up to do even more than they're already doing to help the hungry. We're gonna start a food pantry, and it's gonna open October 25th, so we can reach those in our community who suffer from hunger and who need just that little bit of extra help when there's more month than money. We're gonna start by next week with collecting protein, peanut butter, beans, canned meats like chicken and tuna, and the week after with fruits, canned fruits, dry fruits, and we'll fill our pantry so that those that are hungry can come and get food for their children and their family members so we can reach out and be the hands of Jesus in our community. So I invite you to help in this conference-wide initiative of 200,000 Reasons in reaching out to those around us. And thanks be to God for this opportunity. Amen.
I look forward to us gathering those things for our community and our neighbors. Oh, that's okay. I have a couple of other announcements for us this morning. Next Sunday at 2 p.m., we'll gather here at the church and either carpool or divide up the bags to do our apartment ministry. So that's another way that we'll be able to minister to our neighbors. The more people that come, the quicker we can get it done. So I invite you all to come and attend. And then today and next Sunday, the Boy Scouts are taking popcorn orders in the Wilson Activity Center. And then next Sunday from 8 to 10:30 in the warehouse, there will be a Girl Scout pancake breakfast. So I invite you to attend that as well. And now I would like for you to pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor. I would invite you to stand with me and join in our call to worship, which is printed for you in the bulletin. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. I will extol thee, my God and King, and bless thy name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
If you will, please remain standing for our hymn of praise, Come Ye Thankful People, Come, printed on 694 in your hymnal.
Amen. Won't you be seated? You're in for a treat and a blessing this morning as we have the honor and privilege to receive baptism this morning. And so I want to invite the Guidry family forward at this time. I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 39 as we follow along there together. Baptism is an outward and visible sign of an inward an invisible grace. By it, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and given new birth by water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift, given to us without price. And this morning, William Allen Guidry is being presented for baptism. This time, I'm just going to ask some reaffirmation vows. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Please say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, a promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. Will you nurture William in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. Amen. And now to the body. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include William now before you in your care? Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth life. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and William who receives it, to wash away his sin, to clothe them in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. Amen. William Allen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hold hands on him. William Allen, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may become a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's my joy to welcome our new brother in the faith, William Allen Guidry. Amen. This is always the best part, getting to walk around and share William with everyone. This is when we understand that God's grace is given to us all, a free gift, and how wonderful that it is shed upon all of us. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. We have gifts here for you too.
Yeah, thank you. What a blessing. And now, if you'll stand with me and join in our affirmation of faith, which is printed for you also in the bulletin. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever dedicated to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ, and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Amen.
have all the children come forward for children's moments, please. All those that aren't up here already can join us. Okay, who here has one more? Come here. Oh, walk. There you go. Who here has a favorite food? What's your favorite food? Come on. What?
Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets.
Fried rice.
Fried rice. Wow.
Ice cream.
Ice cream.
Sonic's cheeseburgers.
Sonic's cheeseburgers. Being very.
Pizza.
Pizza.
Rice with curry.
Ooh.
Mac and cheese.
What about you? What's your favorite food?
French fries.
French fries?
Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets. Well, you know, my favorite food tends to change on the day. I get excited about all different kinds of things, and sometimes I love so much food I can't even pick what I want. But what I want to share with you all this morning is that having a favorite food, do you know how special that is? That there are kids just like you, maybe in classrooms that you're in, maybe even your friends, who can't really have their favorite food. That their families struggle, and they don't get to eat as much as they would like to. And who you think tells us that that's wrong? Jesus, that's right. Jesus tells us to feed and to care for those that don't have. So what do you think we should do? You can feed babies. That's probably a good thing. Yeah. Yeah, well, what do they tell us to do?
Give it to other people.
Give it to other people, right? So what I want you to do is every time you eat food, I want you to think of people that don't have food and to pray for them, okay? Does someone want to repeat our prayer for us? Okay. Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
We thank you.
We thank you.
For the gifts of each day.
For the gifts of each day.
And our daily bread.
And our daily bread.
Be with those that don't have.
Be with those who don't have.
And may we share our love.
And may we share our love.
With them.
With them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right.
As we prepare our hearts for prayer, I'd invite for you to look into our bulletin and see the prayer requests that have been listed. And we also have a few others to add. Miss Hyla Ruminer is in Baptist rehab currently. Pierce Blazer, who is Sean McNerland's father, is recovering from a heart stent. And Marilyn Thompson is also back in the hospital. So let's remember these needs. Gracious God, we mourn that there are hungry children in this world. We know that this is such an injustice, and it breaks your heart, and it should break ours as well. God, you call us to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked, and you help for us to take care of the least of these. You give us so many gifts and different abilities to meet these challenges that we see in our world, like childhood hunger. Father, we know that equipped with your Holy Spirit, that there is nothing that can stop us from bringing relief to these children. Guide our steps, God, as we do our very best to eradicate childhood hunger here in Arkansas. Father, forgive us whenever we take too much and don't give thanks for the food that we receive and eat. Help us to always have a perspective of those who have little or even nothing. Jesus taught us and exemplified for us how to care for others and never allowed anyone who is in need to go away empty-handed. So God, help us to open our arms just as you opened your arms to us. And now we pray the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There is a program called Our Kids Read, AR Kids, and they are seeking volunteers for people who are willing to tutor children to help improve their reading skills. And if you are interested in participating in this ministry, please contact Reverend Chase. And let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for choosing us to be your disciples and for the immense responsibility that you've given us to give, to serve, and to change the world in your name. Use what we give today, God, to impact others by your grace. Amen. I invite you to remain standing for our hymn of meditation, Christ for the World We Sing, on page 568.
Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring.
Amen. Won't you be seated? It is a little ironic that the rain began just prior to a service with baptism being done. What a joy. We now turn to the gospel according to John, chapter 6, verses 4 through 14. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall in fresh upon our hearts and minds in a new way. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. 4:30 a.m. is when I was woken up on a midweek morning in a college dorm at Hendricks. It was awful. Everyone was so tired as we scurried out of our rooms because of the fire alarm going off. We trudged out into the cold of night, knowing pretty much what was wrong, feeling bad for the fire department, who's required to come out and search through the halls to make sure there's no sign of fire. And soon enough, we hear later that the culprit behind this fire alarm going off is, in fact, burnt popcorn. I just want to tell you, don't use the popcorn button. All you got to do is just listen for the pops, and when the pops stop, pull out the bag, and you will have fresh, great popcorn. But apparently, educated students don't know that. But popcorn is a real delicacy. I mean, isn't it great? And especially when you go to the movie theater, it's always the unhealthy kind, and it's a little bit addicting, and you want all as you can get, and after the movie, you're always feeling so full and kind of uncomfortable. At the movie theaters, I don't know if you've been in a while, but they have so many choices to accommodate your movie experience. Not only popcorn and candy and all the drinks you could imagine, but you can also get chicken strips, nachos, pizza. It's like going to a ballpark. Everything is there. And then, let's take a little trip to the grocery store. I have had several international friends over the years, and one of their main culture shocks is walking into a major grocery store and seeing all of the choices, all of the options, so much of the same thing, but different. 100 different types of cereal, so many different types of pasta, cuts of meat, any kind of produce you could imagine. It's a little overwhelming and a little ridiculous if we think about it. And I guess that cereal I never get, someone must get it. Otherwise, they wouldn't put it there. Just recently, my wife was going to make chicken pad thai. It's a great thing that we like to have from time to time. And there was one ingredient that we needed for this called tamarind paste. I don't even know what tamarind paste is, but I went to the store looking for it, going up down the aisles and going along the aisle. I really thought it was. I couldn't find it. And of course, the humiliation of having to ask an employee where the tamarind paste is, and they had no idea either. And I got to thinking how upset I was that I couldn't find this tamarind paste, just one little ingredient to make it all better for our grand meal we were going to create. But as I think back, how many families go into the store and have to choose between getting a lot of rice, getting a lot of meat, getting veggies, with only a little amount of money. And here I am worried about tamarind paste. All these choices around us. Restaurants, fast food. It's been told to me that those who hunger and go without food, it's so humiliating to be swallowed up around you with so many different options, yet you can't get that food because either you can't afford it or you don't have anything. You heard the statistics earlier in our worship service from Colleen about hunger. Not only do we lead a number of, or one of the leading folks with hunger issues for children, but also hunger issues for the elderly. It's a crisis. It's a deep issue. And here we are in the richest country on the planet. And we have people who go hungry every day. As we look at this text in the Gospel of John, we see the crowds coming in, getting hungry. Jesus and the disciples trying to figure out what to do. And maybe this passage is familiar to you. It shows up in each of the Gospels in a different way. And some of us, it's very familiar. And something I haven't noticed, or maybe I just forgot, but here in the Gospel of John, it's Jesus that is actually handing out all of this food to the 5,000. Talk about being hands-on, a servant leader, a go-getter. What would it mean to you for Jesus to serve you food personally? What do you imagine him saying? Here you go. Bon appetit. Bless you. Here, take some more. Because in this passage, there's one thing that shows up above others. It's abundance. The excess that was left over. The people are stuffed, and there's still more to give. Abundance. We live in a culture of abundance. Commercials on television, billboards and ads show us that we are supposed to be able to afford all these things because we have an abundant amount of money, whether that's true or not. We've done it at this church, but I've also done it at the church I interned at during seminary, a program called 30-Hour Famine. focused upon taking youth to fast for 30 hours, and along that period of time, they participate in games and events that try to help them experience what it might be like for people all across this world who go hungry, who risk and sacrifice their lives just to get food and drink. And the reason it's such a powerful experience is because it's not like we are preaching it to someone. We're not telling them the statistics. They're experiencing it, and they're playing games that associate with how other people live. And it impacts to take those powerful understandings of hunger in our world into their hearts. That's where the difference will be made. We've seen countless commercials on television urging to pay money for this or that, a charity showcasing and highlighting tragedy. But lots of times we can't sink our teeth into that and deeply understand it until we experience it ourselves or walk with someone who has. That's what fasting is about. It's about two things: being dependent upon God, and it's about having thanks for what we have and thinking deeply about those who do not have, and for us to have a heart and mind to help them in our lives. Gospel of John is such a deep and different text than the other Gospels. It's rich with meaning. When Jesus blesses this food, hands out, and there's baskets of bread left, it tells us that there is excess and abundance of Jesus' love, because Jesus says just later in this Gospel of John that he is the bread of life. And we receive God's grace through Jesus. So as we read the Gospel of John, we come to understand that there are two hungers that people experience: the physical hunger and the spiritual hunger. When people are physically hungry, they cannot learn. That's why it's so difficult for so many children going through school that they can't actually take in the knowledge. We've all had hunger pains from time to time. When we have hunger pains, it's often hard to think and focus on anything else besides solving the problem of being fed. If people can't learn, if people can't take in the information or celebrate and cherish what's being said, then it's a waste. Their physical need must be met first. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of how this past spring and the Give If You Can campaign, where we collected so many different canned goods over a 6-week period, you brought abundance. There were 3 large boxes, do you remember them, if you were here? Filled to the top: peanut butter, beans, rice, cereal, baby formula. The list goes on and on. We separated that and we sent it to 3 other food pantries in the Little Rock area. And we began to think, we collected that for others, but what is the need right here around Asbury? Because there is a need if you look hard enough. There are folks that struggle. struggle paycheck to paycheck to really feed their families, their children. And that's why we want to start this food pantry, to reach out to our neighbors. Jesus gave an abundance of bread. He gave an abundance of mercy and forgiveness. And he gave his life. All that he could give. And we are here today in this sanctuary because we are inspired by that. Because we believe in that. Because we follow that. To feed the physical and feed the spiritual, we have to meet the needs of the people. Isn't that what Jesus did each and every turn? The people he encountered. We are called. We are in a covenant together as a church to care for others. What a great and powerful privilege for us to be given such a great responsibility to feed the hungry. We do it because Jesus said to. We do it because Jesus did it. We do it because it's an act of love, and we do it because we want to. Because it's the right thing. And it just might grow our souls stronger to Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is "Here I Am, Lord." Very appropriate this morning. It's found on page 593. We invite you to stand and sing. If there are those who would like to come forward for some time of prayer, to join the life of our church or reaffirm your faith, we welcome you forward at this time. the abundance of God's grace is poured out upon you. Take it within your hearts, and may it inspire you as you walk out of this place to share the love that Jesus gave, the care that Jesus gave, and the grace that Jesus gave all that he met. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.